Hi, welcome. Happy Sunday. So we just watched part four of this five-part tell-all. It was actually the conclusion of the filming process of the tell-all. So Shawn Robinson has made her exit. She is no longer a part of it. Now we're gonna go and we're watching the scenes as they're leaving the studio and heading back to the mansion. So that'll be last week. Hey, Jen. Hi. So yeah, we're hi Portuguese Princess Gina. So we're gonna be talking about this part four tonight. Where is Kara and Didi? Let me invite them. San Diego News. Hello, San Diego News. Hi, Wheels 1056. Oh, there's Kara. Yeah, so this I actually got a link on Facebook and I was able to. It was great. It was absolutely great. I'm just saying it was amazing. I'm sorry to everyone that had to watch it live. Oh, it's just too much. So I watched it without commercials. Hey,
Hey,
how are you?
good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I actually got to watch it, I was saying, without commercials tonight. Somebody posted it on Facebook,
Awesome.
so I
Love
sent.
that.
Yeah, I was very happy. It brought back old times, old memories, but. This was a crazy tell-all, right? We got a lot of Sophie and Rob. We got a lot of Ashley and Manuel. We thought we escaped Angela, but Angela made her return back to the tell-all midway through. So whenever Dee Dee decides to join
I know
us,
what's going
we'll get started so we can get into this because I have so many notes. Like I have like pages and pages of notes. We're not going to get to all of it, but it's definitely. It was a lot. Oh, someone in the Jen says, I love Manuel. Yeah, we're gonna talk about Manuel tonight because we got a little insight into his sinceriousness, I guess, and sincerity in their relationship. Okay, wait, Dee Dee's here. Let's hold on 1 second before we get too deep. Let's get Dee Dee in here. The other person's live just ended. Wait, who's live? Who else was live?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. Hi.
Hey.
So
It is literally thundering and lightning outside, and I look at the phone and you're live on time. I was like, that is why it's thundering and lightning outside.
wait, did you have no faith in me? Did you think that I wasn't gonna be on
I
time?
mean,
Sure.
did I ask
You
you
never are on
when?
time.
Well, that is an accurate statement. I am usually late to everything, but I was on time today. Actually, I told Kara I watched it through the link that someone sent me, so I got to watch it without commercials. So I was actually done watching it at like 9:30.
I watched
So
it that I watched that too, so that yeah, that was
they
awesome.
didn't let
the
me watch
only
it. They
reason.
said it was deleted.
Oh, so they deleted it? Oh, yeah. I had started it at like 6 and just paused it, so that's probably why I still was able to finish
Yeah, I
it.
watched
I assumed.
at 4 o'clock my time, so
Yeah, I assumed that. They were gonna take it down. I can't imagine that they're gonna leave that up. But
yeah.
okay, so this episode, I want to talk about this Sophie voice note because they started out in the hot tub and Sophie was telling us all of the reasons why she doesn't want to forgive Rob, right? And Rob was saying how all of her reasons for his mistakes are for two years ago, right? And in those 2 years, she managed to get her ass on a plane, come over here, marry him, bring her mom over here. And I'm thinking, like, that's a lot of effort to put into a man that you don't trust, right? And actually, I want to say doesn't even like. She wouldn't even sit next to him on a couch.
Yeah.
Like, that just said, like, it spoke volumes for me. Because I was like, you can be upset with someone. You can have a disagreement or an argument. Like, Jasmine and Gino were arguing. They slept in the same bed. Right? Like they could be near each other. And I think that Sophie, well, actually, Ashley said something really interesting tonight, which, right? Go figure, Ashley, of all people. She said, I think Sophie's looking for a reason to not want to work it out with Rob. And I think that Ashley, first time I've ever said this, nailed it. I think
Yeah.
that Sophie is looking for justification for her not wanting to stay with Rob. And I think that she's pulling straws at this point because Rob, let's be real, Rob's not a perfect boyfriend, husband, fiance, whatever. He has his flaws, but
everything that she's brought up, like, oh, well, when we were long distance, back when we were engaged, I'm going to just say this. I'm not Team Rob, not Team Sophie. I'm just going to say, like, a biased statement. When she was all the way overseas and he was all the way in California, it was very possible in his mind that he didn't think this was as serious as them getting married, like, fast forwarding to today. So I do think that he was entertaining other people, right? But in 2024, up until you get married, you're kind of all right, open season, right? For entertaining other people. Like, that's kind of how people are. You don't really get a commitment out of people as easy as you did 15, 20 years ago. Like, now, yeah, they were engaged, but she was all the way in another country, and he probably was under the impression, this is probably never going to come into fruition, right? Like, she's never going to get here. I'm sure as hell never going to go there. And I think that him messaging other people, she knew that 2 years ago. Not an excuse, though. I'm not going to say it's an excuse. Rob should have been faithful to her if he really did love her. But I think that when someone is like 5, 6, 7,000 miles away on the other side of the world, there is a thought in the back of your mind, like, this might just be a pipe dream.
I was just going to say, how many of these relationships do we actually think that there hasn't been some sort of, either, if not entertaining or speaking to someone online? I mean, not, maybe they're not physically cheating, but I'm sure there's a lot of online communication.
Well,
because
yeah,
if you're with somebody from a different country and you met on a chat or social media or something like that, you have to realize you probably weren't the only one they were talking to begin with.
Thank you.
Also,
that's, they probably 95% of the ones that we've seen on 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah. It's just that somebody's so immature, she's showing her age.
Well, she really, really wanted
She's not innocent herself, because she was messing around with her ex.
Yeah.
She even brought him over here.
Yep.
Yeah, to meet. And then that's when Rob actually found out that they had not just dated, they had been intimate together. They had slept together. That's when Rob found out, after she brought him all the way to California to see her.
That is bi and never tells him that she's been with a woman. She has so many more hidden secrets than he did, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. I agree. I think watching tonight when she was like, oh, I have voice notes of him doing this and I have this. And okay, so when you're in a relationship, right, I was always taught that you don't keep score of who did what was bad. And then, because if you're collecting evidence, like, in my opinion, that's what the police department, the FBI, the CIA, you're collecting evidence on someone. So when you come and you make your bust, your kill, you have all the information you need. And I feel like Sophie and her mom specifically too were collecting bad information on Rob that they could use at a later date. And that, you know, that's like very FBI. Yeah. Like, if you really love someone and you want to make it work, you're not going to always keep a negative score on them that you have in the back of your pocket that you can pull out when it's convenient for you. Yeah. Because that's kind of like how people declare war on other countries or other people. Like, you keep all this bad stuff that they did so that in a convenient moment, you can release that information and, you know, get them in trouble, break up their marriage, whatever you want to do. But if she ever thought that they were going to work things out, she wouldn't have kept and collected all of this stuff, you know, unless she was using it for like a to file charges or legal issue. Why would you keep, a Portuguese princess is like, they wanted to blackmail him. And I'm beginning to feel like that's true. They were using this information to justify the fact that they came over here and he was their sucker. Because Sophie said it tonight. She was like, 2 years ago, she's like, I should have dumped him and I didn't. And I was like, but you're actually being truthful. You know that you didn't want to be with him 2 years ago, but you managed to fly over here on a K-1, marry him, fly your mom over here, move into his house, move out of his house. Like, all of this in that period that you knew that you didn't want to be with him. And it's like, you're showing your ass by saying, well, yeah, I should have left him then, but I can't leave him now because, well, we know, because her green card has not been processed yet. She can't stay. She hasn't fulfilled her time commitment,
right?
Because there's no proof of actual, like, physical abuse that we know of. We did see that video where he was extremely verbally abusive to her. So if she did want to use that one, that new law that protects, it's like a battered women law that protects people that are here on a visa, she could file for that. but it looks like she's just trying to wait out the process. Like she clearly doesn't want to be the Rob, but she also doesn't want to bother the process that's already going on. She doesn't want to divorce. She doesn't
want to be with him, but she don't want him to be with nobody either.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is also really interesting because Rob said that they had sex one time in 2023. But she also...
One and a half, if you listen to Sophie, because his stomach started hurting.
Okay, one and a half times in an entire year. But she's very bothered if he looks at pornography or he satisfies himself. And I was like, well, he's a guy, you know, like you would expect... Because, you know, Jasmine.
You moved out of the damn house. You moved out. As soon as you moved out, it's done. It's done. As far as I'm concerned, you tell me you're moving out, then that's a wrap.
Yeah. Oh, wait. So this girl, Sophia Jones, says that she's the one who introduced him to the idea of a K-1 visa. That's an interesting statement. I didn't know that was, you know, I didn't hear their specific story, but it's interesting that it was her idea because... That makes a hell of a lot of sense because she seems to be the one that wanted to get over here so bad. And another thing that I was thinking about tonight, she had a whole friend group. She had a whole circle of people over here when she got here, which is really telling. Like it means that this plan was calculated. It was premeditated. She knew that she wanted to get over here. She knew that she had people waiting. She had Kay waiting to take her in. You know, she had a lot of things planned out as though that she knew the wedding and the marriage wasn't going to work out. And within 3 months, she had already moved out of the house. Like it was already that situation of, oh, well, I can't be with this person. And she always keeps saying the statement, if you knew what I was going through. Yeah. And I think Liz was kind of irritated with that. She's like, well, show us. She was like, pull up some receipts. Let's see voice notes. Let's see text message. Let's see all of this stuff that he put you through so we can understand better why you abandoned a marriage 3 months into it and that you won't divorce him and let him go. You just want to keep him dangling, you know, from this little string. Like, he keeps calling and saying, I want to work it out. You don't want to work it out. You know, like, what did he do that was so horrible? Because we're all here, you know, to hear what really happened. And it was really funny because she was like, oh, I don't have the voice note. My mom has it. Her mom doesn't have the voice note. And I'm beginning to think that she's a little more manipulative than I gave her credit for, right? Like, I didn't think that she was, like, super, super manipulative. But I think that at this point, her and her mom are painting a picture of Rob that might not necessarily be accurate.
Yep. I was Team Sophie from the beginning. And then this season changed everything for me. I'm definitely Team Rob. And I have been for a while. This girl, she's immature. She shouldn't be here. She's controlling. She's entitled. Like, she just needs to go home. Just go back home. But we all know she's going on whatever, last resort.
We all know. Yeah, which...
They gotta figure something out in the house to make her be there.
Maybe this can be their final chapter, right? Because Molly and Kelly, that was their final chapter. Kalani and Oswelo, they're their final chapter. Like, maybe this will be the end. We don't have to deal with their crap anymore. Because somebody said this to me the other day. They were like, we got Rob and Sophie back to back to back.
Yep.
And I think that's why she's so irritating to me. Because I was like,
we got Jasmine and Gino back to back.
Yeah. And I think.
And Ashley and Manuel as well.
You're right. And I think that's why I'm so like, because, you know, a lot of times I'm rooting for people. I want them to work. At this point, the people that we got back to back, it seems like they were all doomed from the start. So we couldn't really even have been rooting for them to begin with because anyone with common sense could see that they weren't going to work out.
Yeah.
So watching like Jasmine and Gino and watching Ashley and Manuel and watching Rob and Sophie season, then their season ends, then they're right on the next one, then that season, they're right on the, it's just, we're watching a doomed marriage in each state of failure. You're right. And it's like, it's building this negative outlook on the people involved. And I don't want to be negative towards people. I don't ever think that when someone's marriage falls apart, it's good. But sometimes in these situations, the way people are being treated, especially in the Michael and Angela situation, sometimes when a marriage falls apart and people are set free, it is good, right? Like, yep. It is a good thing. I don't want to celebrate the end of a marriage, but when somebody is being mistreated the way that Michael and Rob And I don't know, I want to say Ashley might be being mistreated too at this point. We're going to get into that. But I do want people to be treated better. So I want to talk about Ashley and Manuel, because tonight Manuel finally admitted that he's hoarding money. He's taking money from Ashley and he's putting it away. He didn't say that he was using it like as a way to leave her or as a safety net, but he just said that she spends too much money and he wants to be the saver in the relationship. So I want to get Charles' reaction. Do you think that that's really what's going on with the money? Do you think the money is actually in the house, like Manuel said, or do you think the money is somewhere else being stashed waiting for him?
It is with him.
Yeah, in New York, with his wife.
Yep.
So you think that the money, because it's interesting, he would say like, oh, I need $300, like by his definition, and then he only would need like 100 or 200, and then he was skimming, what do you call it when you skim some off the top? Isn't that embezzlement? Yep. I think that's basically what embezzlement is. He was basically embezzling money from her. He would ask for a specific amount, which he needed a lower amount, and then he would skim the other part off the top for himself. And that in itself is such a horrible form of distrust, right? Like to say, like if I asked Didi, if I called you and I was like, oh my God, I need $300 like right now, but I only needed 100, and then you give me $300 and I take 200 and I just keep it, that's basically fraud, right? Like I defrauded you out of your money because I made it seem like I needed something that I didn't and I'm just benefiting. And that's why there's laws against fraud and embezzlement and money laundering, because that's literally what people have been doing for decades. They get money out of people out of false pretenses. And then he said something tonight, which everybody in the cast was really surprised by, especially her sisters. He said that he still doesn't know if he's fully into this marriage. Because they were like, would you ever leave her? And he was like, maybe. And I thought that that was really ballsy, because she's paying his child support. You know, she's supplying everything in his life right now. And he still isn't 100% sold if he even wants to be with her.
But, you know, Patrick, he had some good things to say tonight. And I was kind of proud of him. When he said, you know, she's talking about how it takes time and she's too busy and, you know, she's running a business and she's doing this and blah, blah, blah. So she didn't have time to fill out the paperwork. And then Patrick says, but you had time to do a post-nup. That's so true. That is so true.
And she has time to go to the gym.
Yep.
4 hours a day. So yeah, I want to talk about this. So the paperwork is not fully filled out. And, you know, we learned from Gino that this paperwork is not something that a normal person should be even doing, right? You should hire an attorney who specializes in this paperwork, because Gino thought that he knew what he was doing and he forgot to list her kids. And now they have to go through a whole nother 2-year process to get her kids, however many it is, on this list, right? And, you know, and Ashley was like, oh, this is a hard process. I was like, yeah, it is difficult. And I don't think that you should be doing it. And Manuel said that he's really upset because he would like to work and contribute. How much do you agree with that? Do you agree that he would rather be out making his own money? Or do you think that that's the last step in his plan? Once he's able to work, then he can fully remove Ashley from his life.
He
don't want to go to work. Once he gets that green card, he's gone. That's what his whole plan is. Yep. He said in the beginning, whenever they got married, before they got married, he said that this was only a 10-year contract.
Well, yeah, he did. That was literally what he said at the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the episode. Go back and watch it.
Yeah.
Yep. So he wants this green card ASAP. But just like we've said from the beginning, the second he gets it, boom, he's moving home to his wife.
So do you think the money he's been skimming off the top is probably his money that he's going to use for his exit when he leaves, so he doesn't have to, you know, he has the money, he doesn't, because, you know, when you can't work, you know, you have to have a safety fund to get you where you need to go, because, you know, Michael learned that. He was like, I want to leave, but how do I make that happen? Yeah. You can't just walk out and leave when you don't have money, a passport, a license. You don't, like, you definitely have to have a plan. And I think the money that he's skimming off the top is his plane ticket or his ride there or whatever he needs to do. Oh, so one more thing happened. Hold on. I forgot. I lost my train of thought, but I want to talk about that. When I get it, we're going to get into that. But I just want to really think about Manuel's plan in general, right? Because he said that Ashley said that she still has zero relationship with his kids. And for, in my opinion, you know, as a stepmother that's paying child support, y'all should be having at least a conversation. Like, I would need a little confirmation, like, when I send money over there. I just want to talk to the kids and ask, did you get the school supplies? Or did you get the clothes?
No,
did you get what I sent? Because
my mommy has it, and we're waiting for my daddy to come home.
His kids are not in Ecuador. I mean, come on. They're right down the road.
Yep.
So Ashley is working out 4 hours a day, and she said that it's more so she can clear her mind from all the craziness in her life. So she's stressed out. And I mean, I understand the situation with her being stressed out, and her sisters were on the tell-all, and her sisters really don't understand, you know, how Ashley can look past all of the issues that
I don't understand how someone can work out 4 hours a day.
Well, even Patrick, you know, who's a bodybuilder or was a bodybuilder, even he said that was a lot, right? And I think bodybuilders work out at least an hour a day, 7 days a week. And Patrick was like, that seems like, you know, a crazy way to spend 4 hours of your day. So what do you think she's really doing, right? Like, because that first thing that crossed my mind was, I'm not even trying to sound mean, but Ashley, I think if you work out 4 hours a day every day, you would look a little more toned, right? So yep. What do you think Ashley's doing all day while Manuel's sitting at home?
Spying on Manuel.
Like checking his location and watching what he's doing. Because it's
hard to say, but if she's running a business, $1 million business, if she's running this business, and I mean, I've owned businesses before in the past. I had four of them, and I worked them 18 hours plus a day just to get them off the ground. There's, if you're running a business and you've got a fiance from another country, you don't have four times to go hang out at the damn gym. Like, no. She's full of shit.
So, okay. So Manuel admitted that he has put in zero effort to learn English. So what do you think is going on with that? Because, you know, Thais, she explained, you know, that it was important for her. She went to school to do it. And Jasmine, she chipped in and was like, yeah, I had to do it. I wanted to do it. It was something that I spent time with. And Manuel is just basically, he's not motivated to do that.
Because if he does get the work, zero intentions to stay with Ashley.
But wouldn't speaking English be helpful just in general, right?
Not if your wife and all your family talk Spanish.
But what about, like, outside interaction in the world? Because everyone isn't bilingual. Like, in America, a lot of people
Everybody's bilingual, but where they live in New York or Newark or wherever it is they live, most of the population is Hispanic.
So in his mind, where he's gonna end up, English is not necessary. So that's the consensus. Because where he is now, it probably is necessary. In Rochester, there probably is a smaller Spanish speaking community, but where his family is, where he's gonna end up when he leaves, when he gets his green card, it won't be necessary. Because, you know, here in Florida, there's quite a few places, especially in Miami and parts of Kissimmee, you don't need to speak English at all. Everyone is bilingual, literally from doctors to cashiers. Every single person can speak English or Spanish. Literally, when I go to the store, they'll start speaking to me in Spanish, and then they'll say, oh, do you want English? Like, it literally doesn't matter, you know, whatever works for you. So I can understand if his family is in an area like that, it's unnecessary. But even with getting a job, you don't really need it. You can still work perfectly fine not being able to speak English.
I think he understands English.
Well,
I think he understands and speaks more than he lets on. Yeah. He just wants her to think that he doesn't. Because
why do you think
maybe he's trying to catch on to, or how can I, what's the what I'm looking for. I think he is wanting to see what she talks about. He's wanting to listen about what she talks about, because if she thinks that he doesn't speak English or understand English, then she's going to be more open, and then she's going to talk about more things. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, so he's a fly on the wall. So when she's on the phone and she's talking, he can understand everything going on. So he actually has a better picture of what she's doing all the time than she realizes.
Yeah.
So he's actually able to take advantage of a lot of different situations. Like, for instance, she gets a phone call, say she's getting $3,000 back in taxes, and she gets a phone call. She's talking about it on the phone. He understands everything going on. She doesn't think he understands everything, but he now knows that there's more money that he can put in his fund.
Yes.
So I get that. So pretending, like, because, you know, the whole thing with intelligent people is they pretend to be stupid, because when you need people to underestimate what you're capable of in order for you to succeed. So smart people are very good at pretending that they don't know what's going on, or they don't understand what's going on, because that's the best way to manipulate the situation, because the more information you have, the better you're going to come out in the end. So I did notice a few times during the tell-all tonight, when people were talking to him, he would react right away after someone said something in English. And I was like, well, you understood what that word meant, or you understood what that word meant. And I couldn't prove that he understood the whole statement, but his reaction was very in line with the statement they made in English. And that was really interesting.
He understands it.
Well, I mean, if you really think about it, if you really think about it, scammers are more smarter than smart people.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know how to outsmart the smart people. But in Ashley's situation, she's not smart. But I'm just saying, if she was smart, or just a little bit smart, then she would know, she would realize. I mean, she lives with the man. And if she says she knows him, she doesn't really know him, because if she knew him, then she would be able to understand and be able to see that this man actually understands English, speaks English, and understands everything she's saying.
So,
but she's not smart enough to realize
it. Do you think that, like if his phone was to ring and she wasn't in the house, she was out, he could have a whole conversation in English? Do you think he's probably that good?
I don't think he's that fluent, but I think he very much understands.
Okay.
He can get by.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Portuguese Princess says Ashley's a psychic. Well, you're right. Ashley should know that he can understand English.
She ain't no freaking psychic. She ain't no witch. She ain't no what all that other stuff she claims to be. Ashley ain't nothing. Ashley is in denial. That's what Ashley is.
I want to. Yes. Get on a weird topic. This is gonna be weird, everybody, but so Sophie was talking about Rob being unfaithful to her, and she was saying that since they were married, he shouldn't be pleasing himself. And I wanted to ask, if you're married, is it not okay for either person to do that? Or like, I'm confused, because I didn't realize that being married meant that you are no longer allowed to do that, because in Sophie's mind, it's either they have sex together or he doesn't do anything at all. And Jasmine is actually on the same page as Sophie with that. She doesn't believe that the man should do any type of self-pleasure whatsoever.
That's so
is that
a cultural thing or an immaturity level?
The two main ones that are cheating on their spouses.
And also, I want to point out the two main ones that refuse to have sex with their spouses.
Yep.
Because Jasmine said that she avoids sex with him. Well, actually, with Gino and Jasmine, it's mutual. They avoid each other. But Rob has been trying to initiate intimacy with Sophie since she got here, and she avoids it at all costs. But she also doesn't want him to actually self-please himself either. So I was like, there has to be a medium in between, right? Like, you have to either offer it to him, right, as a wife, or... If you're going to refuse, wouldn't it be better for him to do that than to just go and find another woman to do it with? Right? No. Like, I'm really confused at her logic with that.
None of that makes any sense. None of that.
I mean, I get that. Well, okay, so wait. Do you consider of self-pleasure a form of cheating?
No.
Because I didn't either. Do you?
No, I mean, no. And to answer your question, too, no, it's not a form of cheating. But some couples, they both do it. You know what I'm saying? Each couple is different. Absolutely. So, I mean, if they're both okay with it, then, hey,
it's just,
what's good for the goose is good for the gander, I guess.
But well, right, it's confusing.
Sense to say, you can't talk to other women. You can't step out. I'm not going to live with you. I'm not going to have sex with you. The only thing you can do is me. But you got to catch me.
Well, right. You have to locate me and get me to answer your call. Yep. Because I'm not going to do that either. Yep. It's just, it's really confusing because she feels in her heart that she's the victim, right? Like she started crying and she was telling the story of how she had a custom item made and used it and it wasn't enough and he was still looking at pornography. And I get that pornography can be a real issue in relationships when the person is more into pornography than their spouse. But I don't think that that's the case with Rob. Rob has made it very clear that he would love to sleep with Sophie every day. She's not making that an option. Like, I don't think that he is pushing, because I think in the Jasmine Gino situation, Jasmine is saying that Gino would rather go in the other room and do that than be around her.
The Jasmine and Gino pornography thing, that one strikes a different chord.
Okay.
Because is watching pornography okay? Absolutely. Knock yourself out. Do what you got to do. Is watching pornography of your ex okay? Absolutely. Whoa. Fucking.
Yeah. See, so that's true. That's true. Because that's a real person that you could have access to. You know, pornography is, I think when you put in a big picture, it's a fantasy world of things that aren't real. Like if you're watching a cartoon, you know, like that's a fantasy world. They're not real people. None of this is real. You can't have any outside interaction with these people in real life. Yeah. This is only a fantasy. But when, like you said, when you put a real person into the mix that you could call, text, or see, because this ex actually lived in Michigan where Gino lived, that is different.
Someone you slept with in the past. Yeah. That is not okay. You don't need to continuously be searching for that. You left that. You're with me now. You don't need to be having any form of contact like that.
Yeah.
True.
There's so many different levels to that, but Gino's level is a little bit different if that's what's really happening. But I also don't know that I believe Jasmine. 98.
I don't know either, because at first she was like, oh, I'm avoiding sex with Gino because I don't want to get pregnant. And then she's like, I'm avoiding sex with Gino because, you know, we're fighting. And then she's like, I'm trying. And then when he took her on that trip to Florida, he was trying to have sex with her. And she was like, no. And it's like, I don't know. Her story is different every time we talk to her about it. And
also, Gino's coming from when he says, when everybody's just like, bang it out, bang it out, bang it out. And he's like, can you imagine how, yes, Jasmine's beautiful to look at from afar. But if you had to listen to her screeching at you every single day, day in, day out, and none of it was positive, that would take a serious toll on you mentally, physically, emotionally, sexually, in every manner. Like I could not handle being in a room with her. Just what I've seen on TV.
Somebody brought up to me something called performance anxiety. And it's when a man can't perform when it's like when someone is like verbally attacking you or they make you really nervous. It can be triggered by lots of different things. But Jasmine is a bully to Gino. Like, I hate to say it, but it's just realistically. She's a bully. She says things that a hateful bully would say to you.
Mm-hmm.
So Gino might actually have performance anxiety to where he can't physically perform with someone who says such vile, horrible things to him. And that's a real condition, right? Like, it's a legitimate condition where somebody has hurt you, they bully you, they've harassed and abused you for so long that you couldn't make yourself perform with that person.
Well, not only that, how many times has Jasmine told him to his face that she has cheated on him multiple times? She has cheated on him with her ex, and her ex, you know what, better than he does.
Yeah.
And she also told him too on the bike ride with her sister that she fakes every orgasm.
Yep.
It's on the episode. Go back and watch it.
You're right. And then she
wonders why. Even with a woman, if a man is faking, like tells you that, you know, he's cheating on you with this one and that one or with his ex and she's better than you in the bed and he's faking orgasms and stuff like that, we're not going to want to have sex with you either.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you. Actually, I agree. Speaking of Jasmine, so we had a Lauren and Alexi segment tonight. I apologize in advance for everybody who had to watch that. Uh-huh. But we found out from Jasmine that there's a surgery that she's interested in where they break your ribs.
The same one Larissa had.
Thank you. That's exactly what I kept saying. I'm pretty sure Larissa did this. That is insanity because Jasmine was like, oh, it's my waist. I don't like my waist. And I was like, what waist? She's so thin and she looks so great. And I think at this point, it scares me the lengths that she would be willing to go to change the way she looks. And again, I always firmly believe that women are fully responsible for the decisions that they make for their body and what they do to make themselves happy. But breaking your ribs that are perfectly fine and healthy, right? This isn't like repairing situation. This is just to break them and remove them, right? Like that crosses the line for me, right? Like that's putting yourself in physical danger for no reason whatsoever. Because we saw what Larissa looks like. She's never going to look the same. Like the person that she was, she's never going to look like that person again. And again, as long as she's happy, it's none of our business. But I just really wish that people would talk to someone or go to therapy before they make these type of life-changing decisions. Because you can't go back from that. Once they break your ribs and take them out, you can't put them back in, right? Like, this is an irreversible thing. And yeah, you feel like that today, but in 5 or 10 years, are you going to feel that same way? Are you going to still want to have no waist? You know, like, that's going to also alter the type of clothing she has to buy because they only make clothes so small. But if they remove her ribs and make her waist, like, you know, I've seen have you seen this? There's this lady online who had the surgery and I want to say her waist is like this big. Yep. It's something really ridiculous. There's like a bunch of videos. It's scary to me. She looks fragile. And honestly, I'm just terrified because your ribs are there as a cage to protect your body. Yep. And then when you go and remove a protective cage, I'm just worried about what could go wrong.
But also,
right?
Also when you're taking away the space for all your organs have to go somewhere. So when your waist goes like this, your kidneys go up, your intestines go down, vice versa. Oh. Like, where the hell does that shit go? That's so crossing a line.
Yeah.
That should be.
And then she's talking about breaking her ribs. Putting more and more fake whatever it is she put in her butt before, because I don't know what they did to that woman's butt, but that it looks awful. And then going even bigger on her boobs all in the same time and getting liposuction.
I hope she doesn't go back to the doctor that stuffed the packing peanuts in her shorts, but like
I guess my real thing is what doctor has the morals to say, oh, you're perfectly healthy and your body is healthy, but I'm gonna break your ribs and remove them just because you want me to. I was under the impression that doctors took an oath to only do things to help better the lives and health of other people. I'm beginning to think that that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah,
it's like if you have enough money, they'll just do what you ask. And I think that's what's scary. I think doctors need to have a moral high ground that says, hey, you know, this doesn't add any improvement to your health. So, and you're not like in danger of any ailments or issues. So I'm not going to do that because I don't feel comfortable. But now doctors are like, do you have the 20 grand?
Yeah.
Let's get it done. You know, and that's, that's what scares
doctors, me. Some doctors will even write down the wrong thing just for your insurance to pay for it.
Yep.
See, that's really scary now. Like to the point where, because, you know, there's a story that recently leaked about Matthew Perry. And they arrested 5 people who helped in his death. 2 of them were doctors.
Yeah.
I think that is what really, I mean, I get that regular people, we are regular people, our morals may not be as high, but if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a police officer, FBI, you should have higher morals than everyone else. You should make better decisions, especially doctors. So prescribing, and then the fact that those doctors were text messaging back and forth saying, oh, this moron, how much you think he'll buy? That's what's scary. Yeah. And then there's people like Jasmine and Lauren who are putting their lives in the hands of people like this, yep. Right? These are the people that you're putting your lives into. They value money over your human life. Whatever procedure you have, as long as you can pay them, they will do it. It might not be healthy. You know, it might be an extreme risk, but they're still gonna do it. And I think that's what's scary when I see, well, men and women, they're suffering through body dysmorphia and they're going about it in the wrong way. It starts in the mind. So in my opinion, if I was a doctor, I would make a person go to a psychiatrist. And when they finished and the psychiatrist signed off on it, then they can come back to me as a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there should be a process. It shouldn't just be as long as you have the money in your pocket, you can get whatever you have done. Because medical procedures should improve your health.
Yeah.
Right?
I completely agree.
Yeah, me too.
So we got a little issue tonight. We got to talk about Lauren and Alexi because Alexi had a little male chauvinism tonight. Like he said that he wants his wife to be a mother and to take care of the home. And he kind of has an alpha male side to him. I never saw that with him, but I did see it a little bit tonight. Do y'all think that this is all BS? You think that they were just trying to add to their story? Because I just don't see Alexi as telling Lauren what to do. First of all, Lauren is loud and I feel like she would just scream at him. Like, yeah. I don't see that would be the issue. So I was just wondering how y'all felt about that.
She's so extremely entitled. This was had to be for show. But I don't blame him. I mean, he is not wrong. He stepped up through all this surgery bullshit. Yeah, he saw what she does. But he does that too. Everything but the laundry. But he's also working outside the home.
Yeah.
So you cannot compare the two. You just can't compare the two. Is a mom's job hard? Abso-freaking-lutely. Oh, yeah. But you can't expect a man to be 50-50 and go outside the home, work, and then come home and pick up 50% of your work that you were home all day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a line there for me. I defend stay-at-home moms. I defend working moms. I'll defend moms all day long, but I will also defend the dads. I will defend every dad that goes outside the home to work. I will defend every single dad. Like, if you're married, it's a partnership. I don't give a shit who does more of what. It's still a partnership. So for them to try to make him look like this piece of shit, chauvinistic pig who just wants his wife home, playing mom like the old days, there's so much more to that story that they just had to paint him as a bad guy.
I don't think he was trying to be a chauvinist. I think he was trying to make a point, and I think he was actually trying to make a good point, because she's being selfish. She's not thinking about him. She's not thinking about the children. She's not thinking about nothing. The only thing that she's thinking about is herself. She even admitted tonight that was a selfish move. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. Lauren is definitely a self-centered person. And this started long before the surgery. Like, this is, as long as we've seen her on the show, but she's been very selfish.
What she said spoke volumes. She said, it was selfish of me. It was selfish of me. And in the same breath said, but I want more. So,
yeah,
none of that changed you. You're still a selfish human.
Well, it's funny.
Look, if we go back, but whenever they first came on, they get married. Everything's good. She begs Alexi for kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, he didn't want them. He thought he
cried. She begged and she cried and she said she was depressed and all this other stuff because she wanted children. Yeah. Right or wrong?
Yep, you're right.
No, you're right. You're right.
Okay, now what is she doing? She cried.
Yep.
Man, she's depressed because she has children. Yep. She cries all the time.
your self-happiness, your center of happiness doesn't come from a husband, a wife, children, a job. That has to come from within. Other things and other people can't be the foundation of what makes you happy. And I think she builds things on, well, she's like, well, I don't like the way I look. That's why I'm not happy. Or if I had kids, I would be more happy. And I think that she puts all of being happy on something that she thinks she wants. And then when she gets it, she realized that wasn't the void that she needed to fill. And I think that, you know, she might definitely have some voids and issues going on with her inner self.
But is what I'm hearing is she's, from what I'm hearing from a mom, I'm a mom. So is what I'm hearing is she's blaming the way her body looks on her kids.
Well,
that's what I'm hearing.
She said the C-section.
Before she got pregnant, she was skinny. She was fit. And now she said, well, since I've had kids, my body looks like this, my body looks like that. I didn't think my body would be this way after having children. Hello, having kids changes your body.
Yeah, well, she knows that because she also made the statement. She's like, well, if I got pregnant again, my boobs would get bigger. So she knows the process.
Yeah.
She just doesn't like the way that the process worked with her. Yeah. And again, I think that she wants what she wants when she wants it, and then she changes her mind. But the issue with children, you can't change your mind with that. Once you have them, you have them. You know, because like she's like,
I was little bitty and skinny before I got pregnant. I was 103 pounds. I was very little. I'm 5'3". I was a very little person. I had my son. I worked to lose the weight. I had my daughter. I worked less hard to lose the weight. My body changed dramatically. I'm the heaviest I've ever been in my life. And I wouldn't change a single thing about it because my perfect children is what caused my body. And I'm not even a little, do I wish I looked better? Absolutely. But only I can change that. I don't need some freaking doctor to change it for me. If I want to change my body, I'm going to work my ass off and make it happen. But until then, here I am.
She said that she had a new belly button constructed because the old belly button was destroyed by her C-section scar. I didn't realize how serious the changes were that she, because again, we didn't see them. We didn't understand it. The belly button looked pretty natural to me, not going to lie. I couldn't tell that was a constructed belly button. It was in the right spot. It was the right shape. Everything looked good. I just was really surprised at how much she said the surgery entailed, because I didn't see those results. And I think, Alexi said it. He was like, they needed fat and she didn't have any fat. And he told them that her butt was off limits.
Yep.
He was like, don't take any fat out of there. That's ridiculous. Just stop. Because like, honestly, her butt's small enough, you know, and she didn't have any fat. And I guess her whole issue is she doesn't want to use silicone in her body. So it has to be natural fat.
Yeah.
And because she could easily, you know, like Jasmine, you could just get two massive silicone implants and put them in there and you have no issue. You don't need any fat, but she doesn't want to use silicone, which I'm really confused by because it's been proven that silicone is not a really bad substance. I mean, let's be real, it's not a great substance to put in your body, but there's no proof that it's going to give you cancer or end your life. So right. I'm not exactly sure why she's so against silicone, but she said that...
Because the silicone can bust.
I just can't with her. I just like...
I feel the same.
Silicone can bust. The silicone can bust to make you sick. It won't kill you, but it will make you sick if it busts.
Okay. I mean,
you go in and you're wanting this fat transfer, and they've literally sucked it out of every spot possible. Yeah. And you go, I wish my boobs were bigger. Well, then eat a fucking cake. Get some fat on your body, then have it transferred. You can't go in as a skeleton and be like, now I want it all moved. That's not how that works.
Well,
you don't have fat to transfer.
She could do it if she would use silicone, because Jasmine did it.
Yeah.
She went in as a skeleton and she came out with massive boobs. But you gotta compromise a little bit, right? And I mean, I respect people that want to make sure that they don't put anything foreign in their body, because I didn't realize that they could rupture That's scary. That's scary, and I don't know what that liquid would do in your body. So that's really scary. I think that people should definitely think about those types of risks, especially when you have a family and kids. And I think Lauren, like you said, she's very selfish. She's very self-centered, and she's the only person in her forefront of her mind. And it's weird because when a lot of people say when you become a parent, you know, men and women, when you become a parent, that forefront thinking is supposed to change. And I don't feel like it did with Lauren. I feel like she's still the same self-centered person. And it's weird because Alexius, he thinks about his kids a lot.
Yeah.
And when he makes decisions, he puts them in the forefront of his mind and the decisions. But I feel like Lauren is more so, well, if I want to do it, I just should do it. And everyone else has to deal with it. It's a really weird dynamic. Oh, so they left before going back to the house, the mansion. And they were saying goodbye. And they said that Sophie and who was Sophie and somebody else? Who was it?
Thais
gave her a half-ass hug. And then things kind of escalated, you know, and they were like, well, actually, Sophie was like, it's not fair. You should just stay here and complete the process. And then she was like, well, how about I just stay here and you say all you want to say? I'll give you 5 minutes of my time. And it got really heated. And I did feel like Lauren did in that moment sound like she was talking down to everybody else there. Because she kept saying, like, oh, I don't think I'm better than everyone, or I don't think that, you know, the newer cast are below me or whatever. In that moment, when she was talking in that moment, she did come across as, you should be lucky that y'all even got to meet me. Like, I did get that vibe from her.
But she also said to all their face, we have kids at home and he has work. Like, first of all, like, none of these cast members work. Every one of them, except for maybe Sophie. But Emily's sitting there with two kids at home and pregnant. Like, ready to pop any day. Thais and Patrick have a kid. Like, that pissed me off more than anything.
Well, I agree that having children is not a valid excuse because everybody had that same issue.
Yep.
Right? Like when they were planning on being there, minus, you know, Jasmine and Gino and Manuel and Ashley and Rob and Sophie, everybody else had that issue. You know, they had to make sure that their kids were going to be watched. And if everyone dedicated, apparently they were there for a week. That's crazy, right? I never realized that they were there for a week. That is a long time, though, for a parent to be away from their children. So it might have been smarter for them to bring a sitter or a family member with them on the trip.
They did.
They did?
Maybe they did. We don't know. Well, we don't know what happened.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I want to be sympathetic because I'm terrified of the idea of strange people watching people's children. So, like, if they really didn't have anyone that they could trust to watch their children, I support them getting on a plane and going back to be there for their children. I'm not going to hold that against them because I watch the news.
Yeah.
Right? There's enough weird, terrible stuff going on. So if they felt that it was the best thing for them to leave, to be there for their kids, I respect parents that make those decisions. I just do.
Yep.
Because but you just don't know.
You can't make it like you're the better parent because you have kids and you got to go when these other parents are sitting
there.
You just, that's not okay to throw that in their face.
Yeah.
I've got kids and we've got jobs and blah, blah, blah. Like all you pieces of shit down here that have the exact same thing going on that we do, we just got to go. That's.
Yeah.
You don't get into that.
It did come across that way. And it's funny because a lot of people that talk about them that have met them before say that they give off those snooty, stuck-up vibes, right? I've never met them in person, so I would never say that that's accurate. But watching the way that when she sat down, she's like, you got 5 minutes. I was just like, that was really entitled and bratty.
Yep.
Like, and like, you are talking down to them at this point. And, you know, because she kept, and it's funny because she kept defending that throughout the whole tell-all. She kept saying, I don't think we're better than everyone. I was like, why do you keep saying that?
Yeah.
Like, if you really don't feel that way, why do you keep defending that over and over? She said that like 7 or 8 times. And it's like, if you have to keep saying it over and over, I start to think maybe it's true and you just don't want it to be true. Right?
Yeah.
The guilty dog always barks.
Yeah, she brought it up a lot.
Before we get cut off at our hour, I just want to address something that Angela said that really burned my ass. So God bless Kobe for standing up for Michael. when he starts saying what's on his mind, and she turns and looks at Michael, and she says, "Take up for me. You never take up for me."
Yeah.
You literally have thrown this man under the bus. You told everyone about his wet dreams. You literally just, you've done nothing but smear him. You've never taken up for him once. Why in God's earth would you expect him to do that for you? After you just told him, "I hired a private investigator. You've been scamming. You're a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah." You want him to stand up and be like, "Huh, don't talk about my sweet lady that way."
Yeah, I caught that too. It's very interesting how she feels that she, but I do believe that Angela is like, "Oh, he's below me and he should worship me, you know, for what I've given him." And it's like, well, what have you given him? Because so far that he's been here, he doesn't seem very happy. You're like, what should he be grateful for?
But,
you know, like, when
let's
you
all appreciate the fact that he started a GoFundMe to fight her. And he had a goal of $25,000. Last time I checked, he was at almost 40 grand. So
yeah.
that says so much about who he is versus who she is. Because if she started a GoFundMe, it'd get shut down so fast.
They just take that down.
A vile human.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we're running out of time. Actually, we're out of time. So we're going to talk more next week, because the interaction between Kobe and Angela will conclude next week. But it kind of looked like she took a swing at him. So,
man.
So we definitely got to talk about that.
And the lie detector test as well.
Yeah, so I want to get into that. So that's part five. That's the last part of this tell-all. We're going to be concluding Happily Ever After, and possibly the conclusion of Angela on Happily Ever After or any other show, right?
And like,
this could be the end, but and then we're going to get into the last resort, but we'll talk about that again next week too. But we're going to talk about Forbidden Love and The Other Way tomorrow. So we'll be back tomorrow and we'll talk about The Other Way and Forbidden Love. Make sure you're following my co-host Kara and Didi. They're tagged in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. There's a new podcast with Kelly Mack from MILF Manor that I just posted on my YouTube channel. So if you want to watch that, that's up now. Thank you guys for joining us. And we'll talk to you all tomorrow. Bye.
Tomorrow.
Bye. Bye.